Moncrief on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.
Today, a plaque will be unveiled, or today a plaque was unveiled on O'Connell Street in Dublin commemorating someone called Parnell, not Charles Stewart, but his sister Anna, who died 110 years ago this year. The journalist and author Claude de Finn was one of the people fighting to get Anna the recognition she deserves, and she joins us now on News Talk. Claude, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon to you.
Was there much of an age difference between Anna and her brother?
She was born in 1852, so he was her elder brother, and there was 11 of them. So I think he had a big influence on her. She would have been a poet and a painter, but when he was elected MP, she would take notes from the ladies' gallery, or the ladies' cage, as she called it, in Westminster. And she described the mean, dimly lit den reserved for the unenfranchised portion of the population. So from around 1879, in her 20s, she was quite politicised.
And it seems as if a lot of that political involvement was to do with the Land League. Did that start in the US fundraising?
Her sister Fanny was fundraising in the US. And in 1881, when the men of the Land League, when they were afraid they were going to be put in prison, they decided they better do something to organise while the men were in prison. And originally they thought they'd have a little holding organisation. And Michael Davitt, who was one of the founders, along with Anna's brother, said, this is a bit of a dangerous experiment now, handing it over to the women. But he said that Anna was a lady of remarkable agility and energy of character. So the ladies took it over in 1881, and when they did something far more radical and militant than the men ever did. They set about travelling around the country. She organised mass meetings. When she went to talk, she asked for the women to come forward rather than take the crumbs from the men's table. She encouraged them to actually oppose landlord rule, and to do so in a militant and actual way by withholding rent and by spending the money on food rather than on rent, which was far more radical than the men ever did. So very quickly, it was banned. It lasted about a year. And then it was made illegal. And when Charles Stewart came out, he said if the women weren't put out of it, he was going to leave public life.
Right. Even though he knew this was an organisation being run by his sister.
Indeed, indeed. And actually, she resented him afterwards. He didn't want it to be as radical as she had said. And it was quite interesting, actually. They had a publication at the time called The United Ireland, which these women carried in the hoops of their skirts. It sounds really incredible now to think of them going along. And when they were banned, the editorial said, "We only wish the men had done their business as stoutly and as fearlessly as the women. Is it easier to cow a nation of men than a handful of women?" The editorial read. They were really wanted to challenge the landlord rule, whereas the men, I think, more wanted it as a movement, and it was all part of the machinations of getting home rule. So when the women came in and were really radical, that was a step too far.
Yeah, and they seemed very proactive in the sense of they were giving help to people who weren't paying the rent. They also collated a lot of information. They were very focused on the issue rather than, as you say, perhaps using it as a wedge issue for other things.
They certainly were. And actually, there's a very interesting account contained in the Irish World. Now, this was written for an American audience. And when Anna Parnell was travelling around Ireland, it enthused about her cool and energetic management, saying that she had called into life a power greater than Irish landlords, greater than the Irish police, and greater than the English army. And, quote, "Great indeed is the power of this young girl whose slightest suggestion a nation will obey. A very Joan of Arc is she." So you have this idea of a radical feminist activist going out around the country, encouraging women and men, I suppose, but she encouraged the women to take back control from the landlords.
Right. And but in doing that, it seems she paid a terrible price for that. And perhaps we can go back to the reaction of her brother.
Yeah.
But when she eventually had to move to the UK, she had to do it under do it under a false name. She did she feel she was under threat from her life for this kind of work?
Well, I suppose the Parnell name was very well known in England, and the landlord, you know, the land wars, there was a lot of ill feeling, and maybe she did feel under threat. At one stage, an effigy of her had been burned in England. So when she went to England after her brother died in 1891, she just led a very under the radar life. Mm. She was a very gifted painter. And I think she kept in touch, even though then she went on to write A Tale of a Great Sham, which really criticised how the funds that her sister had raised in America were spent. It criticised the Land League, and she set out in clear detail why she thought the Land League had failed. And it is incredible, even though that the women that were still in Ireland, and she had a lot of people who supported her in Ireland, wanted to get it published. That was not published until 1986, mm-hmm. would you believe? Mm-hmm. And it was republished last year, edited by Dana Hearn and Dr. Margaret Ward, the historian. But while she was in North Devon, she continued to take an interest in Irish politics. And as late, if you like, as 1908, she came back to campaign in the Northern Leitrim by election. And she, even though she could least afford it, she gave some money. And she arrived, and she was campaigning with C.J. Nolan, who was running for Sinn Féin, and she actually stood up on a box, even though the crowd were flinging mud and eggs and other missiles at her. She mounted a box outside a shop door and started to address the people. The box was pulled under her, and just about the same moment, she suffered the further indignity of having the contents of a jug of water thrown over her. Didn't bother in the slightest. Had she lived, she would probably have been very involved in what would follow in 1916. Mm. You know,
and the book that you mentioned, the Tale of a Great Sham. Does she does she go into her feelings towards Charles Stuart? Because
yes.
Obviously, relations can't have been that great, given that he effectively got the organisation she developed so much shut down.
Absolutely. Well, to give you an idea, the subtitle is The Fury of Anna Parnell at the Land League's Great Sham. That says it all.
Mm, right. OK. So did they speak? Was there any contact between them after he was released from prison?
Actually, I don't know that. Yes, I think there was, but I think she never forgave him. I think she never forgave him.
And unsurprisingly.
Yes. Never forgave him. And also her sister died very suddenly as well in the States. And I think that affected her as well. So there is the image. Dr. Margaret Ward has written a great essay in that book, The Tale of the Great Sham, you know, where she said she was certainly disillusioned, but she did keep a sense of humour, and, you know, she managed to keep abreast of what was happening in Ireland, and she was interested in things. Mm. And she swam every day. I think today is a particularly poignant day. She was a very strong swimmer, and she used to swim in Dalkey. And I remember her particularly today because she went for a swim, as she did normally, in the baths in Ifricombe in North Devon. And the man at the bath said, hello, Miss Palmer, Theresa, that was her name in England. He said, I think it's a bit rough today. Perhaps you won't go in. And she said, no, not at all. But she went in and got into difficulty. And there's a very poignant account of how the local people tried to save her. One man got a pole and he ran along the sea wall. Then a wave pushed him back. Then they mounted a boat and it filled with water. They mounted a second boat and it was rebuffed three times by the waves. And then when they finally got her in, they tried to revive her but couldn't.
Yeah.
And the story of that, yes.
And she's buried to this day in Devon. Does the headstone say
she's buried Parnell? To this day in Devon? Yes, and the reason we have the plaque today is thanks to a woman who is very interested in her called Lucy Keaveney. She's a retired
We just lost her there. Anyway, it was Lucy Keaveney she was referring to, who actually travelled over to the UK to find that plot and then got it restored with some help from the Irish government. That's our lot for today.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.